Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Today's episode of Two in the Think Tank is brought to you by Harry's.
Oh, the razor company.
The razor company, Alistair, yeah, right. The one that is a better way to shave. You don't spend $4 per blade.
I'm not going to do that anymore.
I tell you what, how about a better idea? Okay. Spend nothing. Get a free introductory trial pack from Harry's.
Well, that sounds like an incredible idea.
I just came up with it then. I don't know. We'll talk to some people behind the scenes and see if we can make it happen by the time this episode comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big mover and a medium-sized shaker, I reckon.
If they go to harrys.com/think tank.
By the time this episode comes out, there'll be some kind of deal where if you go to that site, you'll get, I don't know, like $13 worth of free shaving gear.
Wow. A weighted handle?
Look, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm pretty confident I'm going to be able to get him a weighted handle, some shaving cream, maybe a little travel case for your blade. Get you that five blade razor, you know, with the little thing that does up under your nose.
Oh yeah,
you know, a little fine detail.
I've never used anything so useful.
I haven't either.
It's like the potato peeler for under your nose.
I reckon that's probably what they'll go with as the marketing tag for that. But anyway, look, all of this is speculation. I don't even know if there is a company called Harry's.
There is, Andy. And everything that you've suggested, almost like in The Secret, it's all come true.
This is so good for us, and it's good for the listeners of Two in the Think Tank. harrys.com/think tank. We'll have some more details. There's heaps more to say. We'll have more details later on in the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
Alistair, that was really good. What I was doing was really good.
Yeah, I really liked what you were doing a lot.
Sounded great.
It was beautiful. It reminded me of the springtime.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so sorry. That was my telephone making a sound.
You know, it's always me that gets my phone buzzing and ringing during the episodes. And look, the fact that you're doing it is great. It takes a bit of heat off me, but also can't help but feel you're kind of stealing my thing. Like, I've been noticing recently on the show, you've been trying to, like, get your own thing, you know, so people know which one you are.
Yeah. Well,
at the moment, we're more or less indistinguishable.
I find that if I could get my own thing by stealing some of your things and removing your things, then I don't need to get a thing.
Yeah, because I'll be the guy without any things. And then your thing will be that you have some things.
Yeah, like, you know, I have the accent, you don't have an accent.
Is this a good character trait?
Actually, no. To most of our listeners, since I guess a lot of our listeners live in the UK and in the United States. So to both of them, to the United States people, I probably don't have an accent.
I don't have an accent.
Although people in Canada do think that I have an accent. So I think maybe the people in United States, they might think I have an accent because they go, oh, you sound a bit Australian, they would say if they were putting on an Australian accent.
You did then. You sounded really Australian just then. If they tune in just for that bit, they'll definitely think that you have an accent.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't have an accent. I have a neutral voice. It's like milk poured over sponge cake. That's my voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what kind of milk? Full cream?
Full cream. Full cream milk poured over a sponge with like a layer of extra cream in the middle. That's my voice.
But why is that? Why is there no accent in that?
Because it's neutral. It's like it doesn't exist.
Well, but wouldn't water be like a neutral?
No. It's just sort of soggy, wet, white sponge cake. That's neutrality.
Not like transparent, flavorless.
No. Soggy, wet, white. sponge
like
cake.
Like room temperature.
A little bit vanilla. Yeah.
No, but like vanilla? Vanilla is a flavor.
No, no, neutral.
No, but it's like sweet and it kind of like, it has notes.
I reckon you could be eating some soggy wet white sponge cake right now. You wouldn't even know about it. What if I told you? Mm. That's like, you know.
I think if it was soggy, I would know.
I think
because I
kind
of find that texture quite icky.
I think it's like the neutrino. We have billions passing through our bodies at any moment without us noticing. I reckon at any given moment, there's a 50-50 chance you're eating soggy, wet, white sponge cake, and you would just have no way of detecting it because that's how.
How do you think it gets in? Is it like, is there an operation? Like, is there not like a doctor's operation kind of thing? Although that would be one way that they could get it into your body.
Yeah, great way. Imagine if every time you wanted to have a meal, you had to have someone cut your chest open and stick it into your stomach.
Through the chest to get down.
Through the chest.
To get down
wrenching
into the belly.
Wrenching the ribs open.
I mean, it feels, I guess if they were trying to get to the esophagus and rather than straight into the belly.
Where they're trying to get to.
Yeah, right.
The esophagus.
Esophagus. Is that Greek?
Yeah.
But I guess there's ways that maybe like, you know, because you leave your mouth open sometimes during the day at times where you're not thinking about it.
That's me.
And maybe
slack jaw.
Either straws could be going in there or maybe people could be spitballing sort of this kind of cake stuff into your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I'm saying. There's a real good chance that that's happening. You don't realize you're eating it, but the people throwing it around, they probably don't even realize they're throwing it around.
Could be easiest. The easiest way they could get you to eat it without you knowing would be for it to be in the air and you're breathing it in.
That's what it is.
Much in the same way that we breathe out carbon dioxide, which is how we lose weight, right? That's where we lose our weight.
Yes.
That's where our weight goes is into the air.
Yes.
We could be gaining weight. Because, I mean, almost it doesn't make sense that the West is so fat, does it?
There must be some explanation.
There's got to be something.
I wonder if anyone's been looking into an explanation.
Well, you know, so what if, is there a chance that somebody's been vaporizing cake?
Is the air fatting? Fattening?
Is the air fatting us up?
Are we being fatted?
Are
by
we
the
being
air?
Fatted? I think I've been infatted. It's air and fattening.
It's getting in through the lungs. That's how it happens. It
makes sense.
Because
the lungs has no use for grease.
I think,
and so it just lets it go. It lets us through the wall.
This is a great sort of a thing for the Joker maybe to be doing in a Batman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Vaporizing cake and pumping it into the atmosphere of Gotham so that everyone becomes obese.
Yeah.
And, you know, comorbidity increases and over the time.
Comorbidity.
Comorbidity, I believe, are like associated illnesses that you get from obesity.
Yeah, right. Especially in cake in the lungs.
Cake in the lungs. Like when they do an autopsy and his lungs are full of cake.
Yeah, oh, he's got blonde lung. You know? And, you know, it's like black lung from the mines, but it's being in the baker's thing. It's something baker. Oh, this is normally something only bakers get.
They're doing the autopsy and they have the lungs open there in front of them. They're all white and spongy, and the coroner runs a finger through it and tastes it, and vanilla sponge.
Yeah, that's icing. That's icing sugar. I mean, but what, you know, if it wasn't the Joker, is there a terrorist group that could be behind this?
Well,
you know?
in the Dark Knight, the first remake, the Christopher Nolan Batman, they were putting something into the water. The Scarecrow was putting something into the.
It's about time somebody put something into the air.
Exactly. Mm. Right, and it was making people all scared. This one, diabetes in the air.
Yeah. Right. Of course. And then. Easier to chase people if they lose their feet.
Great. Yeah. So first.
I guess it's a guy, he is himself lazy.
Yes.
You know, and he would love to decrease the amount of work that he has to put in.
To chasing people.
To chase. He still wants, he loves the thrill of the chase.
As a kid, he was slow.
Yeah.
And he always got caught in chasings. Mm. He was always it. He calls himself it.
Oh, is it the clown?
It's the clown.
Oh, no. And that clown, you know, I mean, yeah, he couldn't leave the sewers though, so it's got to be different. What about Taggy? Could he be Taggy?
Yeah, no. Great.
Tips? Tipsy? Tippy?
Chaser? The Chaser? I think the Chaser.
Yeah, the Chaser.
Yeah. And he wants to slow everybody down so he can catch them.
Because he's still not very good at running.
He's been it his entire life because he's never been able to catch him.
He could kind of have those things. Yeah, that's good. He's been it his entire life, and that's been burning him up inside.
Maybe he could be like It Boy.
It Boy?
It Boy.
Fitbit.
Oh.
but that's, you know, it's got two its in it. But then it also sounds like he's fit.
His slogan is something about like survival of the fittest, but it's survival of the ittest or something. I don't know. Or fattest, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, what's that thing about, I don't have to outswim the shark, I just have to outswim you.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's all that kind of stuff, right? And then when everybody's really
obese.
What if
he's just got sore legs?
They have no legs. He's sore legs. He's called sore legs. Perfect.
But his greatest joy is chasing.
He loves chasing, but he's never been able to catch anybody because he's got a sore leg.
Sore legs.
And he can have some sort of quip about, it is I who has sore legs, but soon it will be you who has your legs sawn off.
There you go. That'll work if he's British or Australian.
Yeah.
Or else it will be like, at the moment it is I who has sore legs. Although, in a minute, it'll be you that will get your legs sawed off.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's it still works.
Yeah, not quite, but 100, like, you know, let's say 60%.
60%, that's how he operates. He's always operating at 60%.
I'd say he's almost a 40% guy.
Okay, great. Not even a pass. But he's lowering the standard of fitness. So.
Through cake air.
Cake air.
Yeah.
I think, like, because we've already got mustard gas. Why do all the gases have to be savory? That's Why true. Not a sweet gas? and happy birthday is his sort of creepy song, like a slow version of Happy Birthday.
What about it's the Beatles version of Happy Birthday?
So, that'll cost more in rights. Good one. Good call.
Sure. No, but I mean, like, you know, you're sort of just, you're playing in the playground with your kid, and you just hear this. But through, like, it's
terrifying.
Like played, it's played by circus.
Yeah, circus stuff, obviously. Sort of creepy, that horn or organ or whatever it is. Horn organ.
Single snare. He's also wearing a one-man band thing.
Is he the one-man bandit?
He's the... I mean, maybe...
Could he be working with the one-man bandit?
I think he works with the one-man bandit, who he gets to play his intro song.
His creepy intro song before he pumps cake into the atmosphere.
I think it's about time. I think if anyone is going to create an alternative superhero universe, at the moment there's just Marvel and DC and then the one with Spawn in it. Right? And I don't know about those other ones.
I don't know anything about Spawn.
Me neither. I know there was a movie. His cape seemed to be involved.
Seems very often, right? You've got your big comic book studios, right? You got your Marvels, you got your DCs.
Yeah.
And then you have sort of solitary lunatics who have one valuable property that they keep trying to get money out of.
Sure.
That's my understanding from listening to the Weekly Planet.
Yeah, right.
The solitary lunatics, the vigilante comic guys.
Who is who's vigilante comics? What have they done?
No, that was the thing I made up.
Okay. But what's an example of one of those?
Spawn.
Spawn.
Another one, Howard the Duck.
Oh, right. So Howard the Duck isn't like Marvel.
I think he was part of Marvel, but the guy who created him tried to do all this independent stuff with him. Anyway, look, you listen to Bloody Do Go On. They talk about it on one of their recent episodes. Bloody Do Go On. Also, listen to Primates, Matt Stewart from Do Go On's new podcast about monkey movies. Yeah, Alistair about, and I are about, on the first two episodes.
It's about apes and popular culture.
Sure, monkey movies.
Monkey movies. I mean, it sounds so dismissive.
I had another slogan for him.
Because at the moment it's from, looking at apes in film or popular culture from Chimpan A to Chimpan Z.
Yeah. Are you talking about? I was talking about our cake in the air guy.
Sure.
But no, it's fine. No, that's right. It was a different guy who's very similar, yeah. Right? But he's with meat, right, instead of cake, yeah, right? And his slogan is, I'm a breath of flesh air. And there's just meat in the air. Yeah. He vaporizes meat.
Yeah.
And you breathe it in.
He could just have meat breath.
Yeah, meat breath.
Just strong meat breath.
Oh, what do you picture when you picture meat breath? Because I'm now, as soon as you say that, I think raw meat.
Yeah.
Well, that smell when you open like
a butcher's?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a weak power to have, to you be reckon? Able to smell like a butcher's. I mean, that would be, rob a bank with that.
Do you think he'd be one of those ones like Superman where he's almost overpowered, where they're always struggling to find ways for the...
It's actually impenetrable.
For flesh air to be defeated. We didn't realize when we created flesh air, the meat breather, that it was going to be... We'd really made a rod for our own backs by creating this character who was so powerful with his ability to breathe out air that smelled like a butcher shop.
It was so off-putting. The only person we thought who could stop him was the guy who can make that sensation of stepping on seaweed with your bare feet. Which I guess his name would be...
Sea feet. Oh.
But imagine if he could make you feel that, even within your shoes. He's like, he's got psychonetic powers.
Yeah.
Like that. But all that he can do is create the sensation under your feet of having seaweed. It's like you're stepping in a lake and there's the unknown in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's an awful, awful feeling.
Mm.
It's probably one of the biggest downsides of lakes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I reckon lakes would absolutely be able to mix it with the ocean if it weren't for that sludgy seaweed stuff that they have in all of that. Sludgy.
Yeah, and it's also the consistency of their sort of dirty silt.
Yeah, but it always feels like it's got a bit of that weedy, sludgy business in it.
Yeah. There's too much, I think maybe there's something about their plants in there that creates something a bit gelatinous that gets into their soil.
Yeah.
That means that they're a bit yucky. And then on top of that...
A bit yucky.
And then on top of that, you get the actual seaweed, which is one of the worst sensations.
Terrible. So, and look, I love fresh water.
If I made it sound like I had anything bad against fresh water...
Yeah.
I apologize. I would like to apologize to all the listeners. I love fresh, clean water.
I just hope nobody takes that clip out of context.
No. Hopefully they allow this bit to get in there. I want to be clear. I love
clear as fresh water. Although,
clean
to be honest,
water.
Fresh water is very often like sort of a bit siltier than seawater.
I know, but I love fresh, clean, unsilted water.
Sure, yeah. Trickling over rocks?
I mean, or into my mouth.
Hey. Mouth rocks, the teeth.
Yeah,
trickling over the mouth rocks that are the teeth into the...
The tongue really is the riverbed of the body.
Yeah. Is that your phone again?
I think that might be yours, Andy.
My God, we are... It's Beck Petratus calling me. You know Rebecca Petratus?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about her on one of our other podcasts recently.
I see, because we do a podcast, Patreon-only exclusive podcast, one about sitcoms and one about where we come up with five ideas of based on something that you guys suggested.
I'm going to pause the podcast and call her back.
Okay.
Now, we're back.
We are back. You're right.
Yep.
I wanted to think, like, I mean, look, just as a place where we can store ideas.
Yes.
Would it, and this is what I was trying to say before, would it make sense for us to at least just label a potential new superhero comic book universe that we could just put some of these characters into?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So we're going to start our own extended universe.
Well, I think
our own Marvel, our own DCEU.
I just think if we start putting people in there, then something, you know, might emerge.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what. Possibly a universe for comic book characters. And, you know, but at the moment, I mean, we got the Chaser, who's got sore legs. We've got the One Man Bandit, and we got Flesh Air.
Yeah, look, that is absolutely enough to kick off this universe.
Yeah, I mean, they live somewhere.
They gotta be, all right? And I think absolutely they're all in the same reality.
I mean,
they're of a kind.
I mean, this doesn't seem wrong to say that maybe that they would be in a space between spaces.
Mm, sure. So like an innerverse kind of thing?
Sort of like
the inverse?
An innerverse, I think, maybe. The inverse kind of sounds just like it's the opposite.
Yeah, but it's kind of also in... I mean, sure. Innerverse, sinnerverse.
Sinnerverse?
Because they are evil, right?
What about the sinner universe? That's no good, is it? look, we just need a name. Like DC, have got DC for District of Columbia.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Marvel have got Marvel for things that are marvelous.
I assume.
And that you look at, you know, and
go, oh, wow.
Wide-eyed.
Yeah.
Wide-eyedly.
The wide-eyed universe.
Wide-eye universe? Does that sound like we're talking about white people?
No, wide-eyed. Oh, I guess because of the Caucasian stereotypical wide eye. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I think it's just something I heard.
Or are you thinking of like a sort of a stretched open anus?
No. Well, I mean, I'm always thinking about that, Andy, as you know. But I think in a South Park episode, there was an Asian character that called the white people wide eyes.
I
mean, it's not crazy for us to do that, but then I feel like it's kind of alluding to other types of eyes, and I don't necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
What about white eye?
Perfect.
Hey? look, maybe let's get away from eyes.
What about the mind hole universe?
Mind hole universe?
Yeah.
Sure. What about something like hole is just such a word that's used.
Oh, it's click hole and that
click
sort of
hole.
Thing.
It's very popular at the moment. So
trench,
mind trench. Yep. Look, I'm into it.
Great, mind trench comics.
Yeah.
All right, and we're gonna plow that particular furrow.
What about just trench comics?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think trench?
Furrow.
Furrow. Yeah, great. Look, Mia Furrow. No. Look, it's in the Furrow extended universe.
Yeah, yeah, all great. Right. I right now I'm just going to say I'm going to be the one who splits off because I'm not happy with the deal I got on merchandising.
Great.
You know, I think it's important that you know what your character is going in.
Mm.
Mine's the guy who's angry about his cut of the merchandise.
Yeah.
Every band needs one. Mm. Every movie franchise needs one.
Yeah, and I'm going to get some very distinctive facial feature, and I'm going to start appearing just very briefly in all of the comics and comic films.
Great.
That occur.
Great. So far, you're going to be that guy.
So far, we only have villains.
Yeah.
But it's possible because maybe our universe is actually quite young and nobody's actually doing that well yet, you know?
Right. Well, you're saying that... the opposite of villainy, being a good guy, is kind of a luxury. Is that what you're saying? It's a privilege. It's not a innate part of the human condition. It's a thing that we convince ourselves that we are good, but only once we've taken care of ourselves and we're at a certain level of privilege.
I think that it's easier to get paid as a villain because you're stealing.
Right. It's built into the business
model. Yeah, it's built into
it's
the
right
business.
There.
But whereas as a good guy, you kind of still have to have a day job unless there's reward money.
That's interesting, isn't it? Like Batman and so on, they're already he's already a billionaire.
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
He's already rich.
Yeah.
No wonder he stops people from stealing. He doesn't know what it's like.
Well, he also doesn't want to have his own stuff stolen. So he's...
It's quite selfish.
Yeah, he's getting the criminals while they're small-time crooks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, you know. Some of the... You know, he's just in the alleyways stopping small-time crooks.
Hitting them on the head.
Because, you know, stealing a handbag, you know, bopping somebody in the eye.
Bopping.
These are the gateway crimes to bigger things like bank heists and, you know, I guess... vault heists as well.
Like stealing a whole lot of gym equipment.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. Like pole vault.
Okay. So do we need a... Are you saying we need a good guy? Or are we saying it's a universe where we've only got villains and then civilians?
Well, so far. So far we only had that. But I was actually saying... Yeah, I mean, you misinterpreted me, but I was happy to go with it.
Great.
What I was actually saying is that... None of the characters actually have that great of powers. Nobody's really excelled in the field of even villainy or goodness. But so far, there's just nobody good.
What about this character?
Yeah.
Right, he's called the Civilian. Right,
okay.
He's just like you or me.
Yeah,
except he's evil.
So he kind of just
a
wears
perfectly
like
ordinary guy.
Yeah, he just wears like a plain
sort of outfit.
Yeah, like a blue sweatshirt.
Yeah,
yeah, long sleeve sweatshirt that he got from Kmart.
And he's one of those guilty bystanders, you know? He was at the scene of the crime. He wasn't involved, but he's definitely a bad guy.
He always...
He would have been involved if he'd been invited.
Whenever there's a crime that's occurred and police have to say, back behind the lines again, he's always the one who's in front of the line.
Yeah.
You've just been struck by the civilian. Civilian. Oh, no, that's what it already is.
Great. So, I mean, he's even, if anything, even less evil than the other guy.
That's true.
Has even fewer powers.
Yeah.
He's just a bit of an irritant.
But look, we can just leave this open as a thing. So far, look, we've still only got one thing written down because really it's all part of the Furrow Comics universe.
Yeah.
At the moment, which is, you know, none of them are kind of an extended sketch, really.
No, barely.
I mean, Cake in the Lungs obviously is a solid idea.
I think there's something very much in Cake in the Lungs.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see a series of things that could happen in there. Well, I mean, sorry to keep going down this angle.
No, that's okay, Andrew.
But if there was one good guy or girl who fits in with this world,
yeah,
what would they be? Like, whose powers are sort of on a par with with all of these people?
Kind of like a lead poisoning based superhero.
Right, but they're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they would use it for good.
So, I mean, this is the thing. It seems to be random what powers you get.
Yeah, exactly.
But certainly some of them are much easier to use for good than others.
Yeah.
Right?
Superman.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's the one who has, with great power comes great responsibility. But he's got really good powers, right? Some powers, it just seems like it's all responsibility. Like lead poisoning girl. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. She's
all she her whole life.
I think they call
her
the lead belly.
Lead belly.
Yeah.
All she has is just the responsibility of trying to keep her body out of bodies of drinking water.
That's true.
Fresh
water,
which you would love.
I absolutely love that stuff, and I hope nobody goes on Twitter and tries to spread words that I don't like fresh drinking water.
So really all she could do is maybe like tap into like a villain's water supply to their house, maybe introduce some lead in. But really all that's going to do is sort of introduced lead poisoning, which drives people insane.
Yeah, it's a she has a real slow effect, but I guess she's if she's her power is lead poisoning, is that she doesn't necessarily control getting the lead into people.
Right.
Is that she controls how their body reacts to it. Because I guess we all have lead in our body.
A little bit.
A little bit of lead. Yeah, yeah. I guess. Do we all have a little bit of lead in our
body? I mean, I hope so. Everyone's got a little bit of lead in them. That's what I've always said. My dad used to say that as well.
I think I realized I was thinking of iron. Everybody's got a bit of lead. You know, there's lead in all your on all your regular food, you know?
I like this. Right, new idea.
Okay.
Right? You know, people talk about carbon dioxide. Can't be bad, right?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's got everyone breathes out carbon dioxide. It's a life gas.
Yeah.
Trees need it to survive. Mm-hmm. I want a guy who tries to pull that with lead. Everybody's got a little bit of lead in them.
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody's got a little bit of cyanide.
Yeah. It can't be that bad for you. Our bodies have got lead in them. Anyway.
Yeah, I think he's a great guy.
So why are we unhappy? There's lead in the ground.
I guess it would make, I mean, look, this is if it's either that guy or, you know, lead belly.
Mm.
She would probably get offended when people said bad things about lead.
Mm. Yeah, she's a lead defender.
The lead defender.
Maybe we've got to get off all of this superhero stuff. I don't know. If it's taking us anywhere else, Dave.
I think that there is absolutely a sketch show that is based in superheroes.
Great.
But without, like, I mean, this is not going to tap into the, you know, because, I mean, if you were to make a sketch show that was based on a Marvel Universe superheroes, there'd be a huge audience in that, right?
Yeah.
Because people want to see that. And even some of the films, you know, Taika's kind of done that with some of the films.
A bit of some goofs, you know? Bit of meta goofery.
That's not what I'm interested in.
I don't give a fucking shit.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care.
I want new characters who have funny, who get involved in funny situations.
Yes.
And I mean, look, there's actually potentially a whole sitcom in it.
Could be a whole sitcom. Right?
It's lead just a town. Girl. It's just a town where there's superheroes and weird stuff happens. Like, there's just no civilians. Except for the civilian. He's the closest thing.
See, this is the thing about the civilian.
Yeah. Right?
His name, it feels like it should be a good pun.
Yeah.
And it feels like it should roll off the tongue, but it doesn't.
No. And that's the first way that he gets you.
He's as difficult to say as he is to put up with.
The civilian.
I thought it would be catchy. But it's not.
All right, how about this,
Alistair?
Okay, Andrew.
Shoes for your hands.
Okay, I'm listening. So not gloves.
Not gloves.
Okay.
Absolutely not. No.
Are they made for walking on the ground?
These shoe hands were made for walking, yes.
So for people who walk on their hands?
No, but
Or for when you want to do all fours?
I mean, quite possibly. We've certainly got those shoes, right? Those running shoes that are like barefoot running shoes. Yep.
They're great. Right,
that are supposedly...
And disgusting.
And they're supposedly better for running.
Yeah.
Right? I think maybe the science behind that has been disproven.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sure.
That free running, barefoot running business.
Mm.
Now, I'm not talking about barefoot running. I'm talking about closed toe handing.
Hand running.
Handsing. And maybe just doing regular hands things, but with a closed toed shoe on your hands.
So not mittens?
If we're saying the barefoot is better for running, I'm saying the closed-toe hand shoe is better for typing.
Well, first of all...
Manipulating objects.
Hands, when you use them for tasks, they're very
and
sensitive. They're very sensitive to touch, and that can be distracting.
Right. And I think it might make you... It's too sympathetic or empathetic.
Absolutely. It gets in the way of, like, business decisions.
Yes.
Cold, hard logic demands you to feel less. Mm-hmm. So there's also, not only do they not feel things, they've also been given a numbing agent on the inside.
Okay.
You know, like on the inside of some condoms.
Mm.
They use that same stuff that people use to prolong sex, but they use it so that people
can you got numb hands? You got numb hands,
so you don't even
shoes.
Feel the inside of the shoe, and you don't feel your hands sweating, things like that, right? And that way, you can have a clear head for when you're making business decisions.
Yeah, I think you know. Also, when you're writing an email, right? Tap that out with your big hand hoof shoes.
Bigger keyboards.
Right.
For people who, so they just have single.
Clip-clop.
Clip-clopping like that. It's a clip-clop board.
Perfect.
Yeah, a clop board.
Yeah. I think good.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I think, you know, in the office.
Hand shoes.
Not sand shoes. Not
a
sand
lot of
shoes,
people are
going to
think
shoes.
That you're saying sand shoes.
They're not. You're not. You're saying yeah,
now, do you want shoes
oh,
for your?
God.
Do you want shoes for your knees so that you can crawl on all fours?
Yes.
Because I know it's quite hard on the knees sometimes to be down there. If, let's say, you have children or whatever. And do you think having shoes for your knees and your hands would increase the amount that you play with your children?
Yeah, I think the sensitivity of our hands and our knees is actually a barrier between us and our kids, and I think. Kids will thank you when you get down there and you stroke their hair with your shoes.
The
you
rubber,
get down on your knee shoes.
Their hair.
You caress, you pinch their cheeks with your hand shoes.
Researchers have found that early man did not caress and show affection to their kids with their hands like modern man does.
Yes.
That's a modern invention. It used to be more like horses, and it would be rubbing heads against each other.
Right.
And by having these exposed hands, which used to be covered in calluses and dirt and just clumps.
And holding rocks a lot
holding
of the time.
Rocks and sort of just blood and different things that were covering the hands.
You know what? There's a good point in this. I reckon. When we were living in the trees, we would have been holding on the branches. We wouldn't have had free hands to be caressing our kids.
It wasn't, these hands weren't made for caressing.
If you were touching your kids at all, what's free? It's your knees and your elbows.
Yeah.
I think most parenting should be done with knees, elbows, and head.
Yeah. And that's why we're starting to cover at least the hands. No more elbow. We're going to take the shoes off your knees. That's the latest research.
Put them on your elbows.
First they thought knees were bad, now we're back in, knees are good. You know, it's a bit like coffee. People were flip-flopping all over the way. But the important thing is that now you're getting a closer connection with your kid, you know? Because with head-to-head contact, the mouth is close to the ear, which allows for whispering and more lovings, and which releases pheromones and good chemicals.
Yeah, see? You're working... for this, Alistair, and I love it.
No, well, look, it's not hard
it's
to
not
do.
It's not work. This isn't
it's,
hard.
It's
this
not
rolls.
Hard to do because it's organic, and this is actually how parenting was meant to be.
It makes a lot of sense. It's common sense parenting. It's paleo parenting in a way, isn't it?
And paleo business decisions
and
as well.
And paleo business decisions.
Since I started
when the cavemen were making business decisions, they weren't typing emails using their fingers. They were sending messages by throwing rocks at one another's heads.
That's right.
And when we bring that into the modern office, what are we talking? Big rock in each hand, type on a huge clacky keyboard.
Actually, the benefits of having a big lump on your head we've lost that as well.
That's because, more brain space.
Well, yeah, and that used to be that we would actually because when you what happens when you get a big lump on your head?
Is this from being hit with a rock?
From being hit with a thrown rock.
Yeah.
Right? Is that your head becomes extra sensitive. And then you can feel changes in temperature easier, you can feel the wind.
And you can communicate with your kids better. Because you've got your heads close together.
You've got your heads close together.
Pheromones.
Organic parenting, dirt cloths all over your body.
Yeah. Now, just to bring it quickly back to Scarecrow in Batman, when he had that chemical that you smell that makes you really scared, should have called it a scaramone.
That's true. He didn't maximize his pun opportunities,
Yeah.
Look, that Hessian sack over his head just doesn't seem like a good idea.
Have I told you this? Have we talked about this on the podcast? That it's very cool now for guys in your Robin Hoods, your Assassin's Creeds, to have a big old hood over their head.
Just covering most of your peripheral.
Most of your peripheral vision. Oh, it's not like I'm in some kind of profession where seeing people approaching me from the side or, you know, whatever, is in some way useful.
Somehow masking your ears. My ears so I can't hear as well.
Big, loose, flowing.
I'm jumping off the tops of buildings, hoping to just spot a ledge on the way down.
Yeah. No, you need full visibility, right? I'm talking shaved head.
Yeah.
And then maybe like a mirror, right, that's attached to your nose that's like shaped like a little triangle, right? So you're getting a little reflection out left and right.
That would be good.
You get a bit more side view.
See if there's any torches or something coming your way. Fireflies.
Fireflies or torches. Yeah, exactly. Both of those things.
Flaming arrows.
I mean, that's possibly even more of a risk. Yeah.
Earlier when you said that Spider-Man had powers that were good and that they were easy to do good with, I think that Spider-Man actually has unbelievably shit powers.
And what are you talking about?
And he's done unbelievably well to get anything out of them. Now, in the more modern Spider-Man, does he have the webs?
He's made those as web slingers. They're a little robotic thing.
Oh, so that's a thing that he's added?
Your Tom Holland has made those himself. So really, he can't thank the spider for that at all.
No. Okay. Because already, even that doesn't seem like it's a good... That's not even a good skill. Being able to throw out sticky...
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, sure. So it hasn't worked for spiders? One of the most successful organisms on the earth?
No.
At catching...
They don't use that in any way like Spider-Man does.
You're right.
They do it to set traps.
Yes.
And make their homes.
Right.
Right? He is shooting long... just string.
Sticky string.
Like essentially bungee cord of stickiness out. It just seems like a nightmare. He is launching himself off of buildings. That doesn't, like, really, that's a guy who's insane. That's a guy who is...
Who's making it work somehow.
Who's making it absolutely found some
what
insane
are the chances?
Equilibrium that it's only through absolute... Like, there's probably... Everybody has Spider-Man powers, but nobody has the guts to live it out
in the way that he building.
Did. Leaving that shit dangling off of buildings all over the place.
Well, that's irresponsible. It's a form of vandalism.
Cobwebs.
They're hanging off a building. Mm. He's swinging. He must leave, like, on even a small swing run, 10, 20 webs, right? And this stuff is strong.
Mm.
Sticky. Indestructible.
Made it in his... I mean, I don't even know how he's got that much stuff. The absolute volume of material.
Alistair.
That he would have to be carrying around with himself.
You're right.
Window cleaners hate this guy.
Window cleaners hate him. That's the...
I'd like to see...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spider-Man from the point of view of the window cleaners.
Now this is a story.
Yeah.
Yes. everything's about perspective, right? And I think the perspective of the window cleaners is probably one that has not been very well explored.
In terms of diversity, it's definitely a story that hasn't been told. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you get guys who are lead journalists. Operations or journalistic operations. J. Jonah Jameson.
Sure.
Right? You get just aunts and uncles.
Very well covered.
Yeah. Stories told. Great.
Seen it.
Okay.
Move on.
What else? But there's more to life than just journalistic, you know.
Bosses
and uncles and aunts. And also love interests. Of uncertain jobs. I don't know what she does or any of them do.
Actors, I believe. Look, anyway, you're right, Alistair. I'm happy if you would like to write down a sketch from the point of view of window cleaners.
I did poo-poo the idea of doing sketches based on Marvel comics earlier. But
yeah. Anyway, we can un-poo-poo it. You can put that poo back in. All right. And yeah, absolutely. And while you're writing that down, Alistair, I'd just like to quickly again mention Harry's. The Harry's razors. I was talking about it at the start of the show.
Right.
And I was saying I'd hook something up anyway.
What
I
is
heard
this?
Back.
Yeah.
Well, after I talked to Beck on the phone, I had a quick chat with the guys. Harry's, they absolutely will do this for our listeners.
Wow.
We have a special deal.
Okay.
If you go to harrys.com/thinktank, you'll be able to get yourself that sample pack, that starter pack.
Yeah.
Absolutely free.
What's in there?
I'm talking weighted ergonomic handle. I'm talking one of the most beautiful razor, precision engineered, German manufactured razor heads that you will ever see or experience, right? And I've used this not in the last 2 weeks, but before then I had a shave and it was
absolutely
delightful.
We were getting comments on Twitter.
Yeah.
People showing a lot of love.
Looking good.
Yeah.
You know?
People were looking good looking at you. That's right.
This is a shave that doesn't just make you look good. It makes the people who notice it look good.
It actually
it shows they've got good taste.
It changes the shape of the viewer's face.
Yeah. Changes the thing that is observed, the act of observing.
I think they might be quantum blades. I haven't spoken to the guys at Harry's personally.
There's got
to
be some kind of entanglement.
There's absolutely entanglement involved.
You're getting a little travel case for your razor there, and you're getting some of the most delightful shaving cream. It's that stuff that comes out as gel and then turns into foam when you rub it on your face.
It's actually...
Oh, boy.
It's actually a fluid dynamics kind of marvel.
It is. It is. Mm. It's a phenomenon.
I think it might be. It goes from semi-fluid to some kind of semi-gas, like some kind of bubble.
It's doing like half a phase change.
Yeah, it's an incredible move.
And that's if you go to harrys.com/thinktank. Those are the guys from Harry's. They've sold trillions of razors to billions of universes.
Absolutely.
And they are good guys, and they are helping out the podcast. As well, if you go along to that website.
So if you help them, you're helping us. You're helping us.
But mostly you're helping yourself and people who see you.
Yeah.
harrys.com/thinktank. Alistair, I feel like this one's a slog. We have done a lot of podcasting today.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a slog. See, no? For me, I think this is us excelling.
Really?
Absolutely.
Batting 90 to 100.
I think Hand Shoes is up there top 15 sketches.
It's up there with Under a Restaurant and the one from 2 weeks ago about Jason Statham making dinner plates out of dishwater.
Yeah, Crank, but with joy.
I listened back to that episode and I laughed out loud a whole bunch.
See, look, even Andy supports the podcast.
I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love what it does for us and brings us so much joy.
Now, was it ever normal for people to ride pigs? Was that ever a normalized thing?
I don't know if it's ever been explored.
Now, I know Bart maybe did it in the Simpsons movie.
Right.
But do pigs have legs in which... I mean, especially those wild, huge... I mean, those big bush pigs. You know those really big ones?
Yeah.
Those definitely seem like you could at least fit a saddle on them.
Well, how about this, right? You get pigs who are enormously fat, right? And they can support their body weight.
Mm.
Now, if one of those pigs then lost all that weight, right?
That's true.
Maybe through some crash diet, right? Maybe that Michelle Bridges.
Great.
Total body transformation, right? 12-week body transformation. Anyway, whatever it is. Did that. But then it's still got all that muscle from carrying around that weight.
Of course.
You climb on the back of that pig.
Yeah.
We've got a new beast of burden right there.
Absolutely. And what would be really cool about these formerly big bush pigs, right, is that they would have so much excess skin.
Yes.
But then it would drape onto the ground.
Okay.
Right? Hiding their feet.
Yes.
Making it look like you got yourself a hover pig.
And, I mean, we've been wanting a flying car for a long time.
Mm.
But...
And people have been wanting, you know, when pigs fly for a long time.
For a long time.
Now, we're not promising you that this pig flies, but people will think that it at least hovers.
as its fat excess skin scrapes along the ground, mm-hmm. that for me is the definition of hovering.
Think about it,
though. I haven't looked it up recently.
You're in.
But no, that's what I'm picturing.
Look at it. You're in. You know, it's like. But you know, you've seen like, you know, you've seen those movies with a, you know, like a Death Eater or some kind of like, you know, unearthly creature with a long
an apparition
robe.
Of some kind. The yeah, robe.
The long robe. Right, that drags along the ground, and you think this thing does not have legs under there.
It's right? hovering.
It's hovering. Right, now I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah.
Right, I just think that maybe because...
Could just have weird tiny little legs all at the back of the robe there, all scurrying along.
Now, and those are for bipedal creatures, mm-hmm. right? Now think about how smooth a pig could seem to hover yeah. with four legs.
Yeah.
Right? Which increases smoothness.
And I mean, skin if you could flaps get, all around.
If you could get those skin flaps, let's say, over the side of a millipede.
Yeah.
Right? If you can get a real fat millipede to lose loads of weight.
Interesting.
Get that fat, that excess skin to hang over the side. That would be the smoothest hover you could simulate. Right? But let's say, okay, but also think about it. Like this pig that's lost all this weight
yes.
looks like it's hovering. But not only that, you're riding this pig through the desert or the country
yes,
on a country road, right? And that country road isn't paved. So that skin that's on the ground, it's picking up dust. It's creating a kind of cloud effect like that, which kind of adds to the mystique. It gives it a magic feel, doesn't it? Suddenly, you're the most popular guy in town.
And just like that, I transformed a simple country scene into a fantastical, magical dreamscape. As yeah. I hover in on my dust cloud of pig, now, my pig dust cloud.
How long do you think it's going to take before the person who rides that pig becomes mayor of that town?
Because I give it a week at the outside.
Because, look, I know a lot of mayoral candidates will drive around with a car with their face on it.
Yes.
Right? With a thing, speaking out, you know, like their message or whatever. You don't need to say your message. People know exactly who you are. They can see you coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
They recognize your gait.
Yes.
You know, it's like...
In that you don't have one.
You don't have one because you're just... sitting on a pig.
Floating across the ground.
And people are going to be like, how did he make that pig so thin? I mean,
maybe he could do that for me.
It's not that it's not that dissimilar to, you know, people thinking, well, Donald Trump was a businessman. You know,
he's successful.
He did that for himself. Imagine what he can do for the country. Well, in this case, you're not even doing it for yourself. You're doing it for others. You're doing it for this porcine creature, right? You're making them lose weight. A creature that is stereotypically known for its chubbiness. Now, if you can break a pig's eating habits.
Yes.
Everybody in that town has a chance.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy for what this could be. And you know what this is?
What is it, Andy?
This is like a sort of a cross between the pickup artist book.
Yep.
Right? And Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal.
Yeah. Exactly. This is because The Art of the Game.
The Art of the Game.
Or the game of the deal. I don't know.
I like The Art of the Game.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Absolutely got me. This is the book written by the Hover Pig guy. Everybody knows the Hover Pig guy. He's the Hover Pig guy. And also a lot of these small towns, people talking about them as one-horse towns, right? They've only got room for one horse. Nobody ever mentions how much room they have for pigs.
No, that's right.
But I assume there's at least one vacant pig space. And that's where you're going to slot straight on in.
And there's no competition for it. So that's why you're walking straight into that parking spot. Or are you? Or is your pig walking in?
Yeah. Or is it walking at all? Is it hovering?
that's the real question.
You're wafting.
Does there even need to be a spot? Could it be just a hole and the pig will just float above it?
I think wherever you park your pig.
Yeah.
No one's putting a ticket on your pig.
No.
Nobody's going to ticket that pig.
No.
The
only people you got to fear is the dog catcher or the, you know, the local.
Why the dog catcher?
Well, you know, because he's the guy, you know,
they're
called.
Well, you think he also catches pigs?
I think they're called dog catchers, but they're actually responsible for multiple types of animals. I think if a big bird gets out of hand, it's the dog catcher you got to call.
He's not going to know what he's doing.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
But he's going to be your one villain. He's going to be your one enemy. I don't know if this guy belongs in the Furrow, in the Furrow Comics universe.
the guy who hovers in on a pig, I'd happily slot him into the universe. But I'm also keen for him to have his own sketch.
Absolutely. He just has his own sketch. Absolutely.
That's one of the most fantastical things I've ever heard. What a smooth ride.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, smooth as a Harry's shaver.
Smooth as a hover pig.
Yeah. That could be their slogan. I'm happy to give that to
Harry's?
To Harry's.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if they'll take it. If they'll have us.
I feel bad for that pig with its skin, its sweaty pig skin sort of dragging along the dusty dirt. But
you know, pig skin does kind of have like bristles on it, which does kind of have like a cleaning effect, at least on the roads, or you know,
and whoever this guy is, I reckon he keeps his pig clean.
Yeah, and he keeps his pig in good condition.
And
you know, I mean,
that says a lot about somebody. Like, you look at their pig, you know,
you can tell a lot about a guy about their pig from their pig.
Yeah,
you can tell a lot about a guy's pig from his pig. But also, you can tell a lot about a guy from his pig.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that. I'm sorry that I'm such a vacant dust bowl.
You're not a vacant dust bowl, Andy.
A vacant duck bowl.
A vacant duck bowl. I mean, that's a thing in places where they serve duck. Like in
a vacant duck bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually a sad thing in a duck restaurant, unless you're full.
I think that
as sad as a hungry man's vacant duck bowl.
The ducks hanging up in the windows of Chinese Peking duck restaurants is one of the most intense things that I'm confronted with on a daily basis.
It's not that far from the what's that alien that kills people in the, with the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Predator?
It's like, you know, the Predator, the men and hanging from the trees in that movie.
Yep.
I remember that kind of hitting me pretty hard as a kid, and it's basically the duck version of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It sends a strong message to people walking by, which is we have dead ducks if that's what you're looking for. And it sends an even stronger message to ducks.
Yeah, you never see a live duck in there.
No.
I don't know if they've learned their lesson or if...
If it was me, I'd leave one duck alive to tell the story of what happened here. But
this shows how serious they are about cooking ducks.
Yeah.
Is that they don't.
Think
about the amount of duck feces that would be in that in that restaurant.
You mean that they've hollowed out of ducks?
No, I just meant if there was one living duck.
If there was one living...
I don't think that duck would be relaxing, and I don't think that duck would have a single solid shit. Even for a bird, its shits would be running.
This is not a funny idea in any way, but it's definitely an intense idea, right?
Yeah.
It's like one of those restaurants where you go along and there's fish or crayfish in a tank. You can point to the one that you want.
Yeah.
They'll take it out the back, and they'll kill it.
Yeah.
It's that... But it's a duck.
Sure.
Right? And it is panicking.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like thrashing around.
Oh, they would learn. They would learn to know what that point means.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is such a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Is there any way in which that could be funny? Like, it's a kind of... Because it's doing a sort of a parallel... style thing.
Yeah.
Where if you did it with something funny, it'd be funny, right? Yeah. Comedy is very often, what if this, but it was this instead, right? Yeah. Now I'm doing, what if crayfish, but it's a panicking duck.
Sure.
Right? Is Peking duck short for panicking duck?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand Chinese in its full, but I think it's just a
short version of English.
Yeah.
I mean, their Chinese alphabet, their letters, do look like they've just bunched a whole lot of English letters together.
Just take a word and kind of like just mash it in
just
your head.
Put all the letters
into
one letter.
Yeah, like that. And just go like that. And then you just kind of release it.
That's a Chinese character.
And then you just make about 10,000 of those.
Yeah.
Just one for every word.
You just type all the letters over the top of each other.
Yeah.
All right, that's...
There you go.
There you go, I did it.
Now look, the duck, I mean, look, I definitely just see that as sad.
It's so horrible.
How could we make that funnier? I mean,
I mean, what about this?
The plants?
What about this?
Humans?
Could be humans. You go for people who
babies.
Feel bad about picking out a duck like a fish or a crayfish to eat, right? What if you go in?
Yeah.
And this is a more positive spin on it.
Yeah.
Costs a little bit more for the customer, but you go in and you point to all the ones that you'd want to release, right? So instead of thinking about it as you're eating one crayfish, think about it as you're releasing 9 crayfish.
Well, you pick 2, one to die, one to live. So it's kind of like you're doing a good thing, but you're also doing a bad thing. So it kind of just like balances each other out.
I like it to be you're not specifically picking the one to eat.
Okay, right.
You leave that unsaid.
Yeah.
Right? You're just like,
oh, I see what you're
saying. I feel like releasing some crayfish tonight.
Yeah.
Honey, do you want to go release some crayfish?
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant, you pick 9 crayfish to release, and then the one that's left over, it's just not acknowledged.
That's right.
They take that out the back, and then later on you're eating crayfish.
Yeah. And what you're doing really is you're paying so that they don't have to kill those crayfish.
Yeah.
You know, and for your trouble, you're just getting a little bit of crayfish, you know?
And think of the good that you've done. I think
those
9 crayfish would be right to thank you.
Yeah, and I think it would make – I mean, I guess you could do that with a steak place. You could sort of –
Sure.
You're paying to give like 15 cows a massage.
Or their freedom? Or is this massage one of those Wagyu beef massages?
Sure, I'm sure it's still pleasant, you know. Or what about you're paying one cow to get an office job, right?
Great.
Is that
keep it off the out of the fields?
Out of the fields, right?
Yeah.
And you're getting it, and then I mean, I guess we have already talked about this in the past, but the idea of you're paying for a guy who helps the cow integrate into society. And
I think like officers, we've discovered that having plants in there is healthy for an office space. And they'll often do like a wall of plants, like a living wall, rainforest wall or whatever, ferns. And they'll have pot plants around the place.
Mm.
Why not a cow?
Why not a cow?
Yeah. It's good for the atmosphere, brings people together.
I feel I've messed up your crayfish idea.
No. Alistair, not at all. I personally am really keen on this office cow idea.
So it's just an office. It's just a cow in
the
office.
It's a cow in the office.
Has somebody paid for it to be?
I think then possibly. Yeah.
Somebody just...
It doesn't have to be. Like, it could just be an office that's decided to get a cow in.
But is the cow just being a cow, like eating grass?
I think the cow's just being a cow, right? And I think maybe certain people, like, have to milk the cow. It's your turn to milk the cow. That's a sort of thing.
Sure, yeah. Right. So it could be like a graphic design studio.
That is the perfect location for this cow.
Yeah.
And
it just kind of roams free.
Yeah.
Around the thing. And it kind of sometimes just comes and licks your face. And
bumps over a lamp or whatever.
Yeah, and you sort of feed it like a handful of cud
and
or whatever.
And it just shits.
Everybody's just got a bowl of cud, you know, next to their mouse or whatever. And yeah, there's just shit on the... I guess it's kind of like a polished concrete floor.
I guess that helps.
Yeah.
You can hose it down.
Yeah. And you can get a hose. Yeah, you can get everybody has a hose now in their little standing desk cubicle. Underneath, you just got to reel a hose and you like that.
Easy.
Yeah, I think that's
it's a good. Couple of seconds out of your day.
It's almost too easy.
Is that an idea?
Office cow?
Office cow?
Look, I mean, I think it sounds like the kind of thing a bunch of hipstery kind of like, you know.
Yeah. And
if we filmed it, we would get to hang out with a cow.
Great. Beautiful. And can we put down releasing crayfish? Great. And I'm sorry about the really sad thing that I mentioned with the panicking duck.
Panicking duck? That's okay.
Yeah.
We got three words from a listener.
Excellent. Thank you very much to our listener who supports us on Patreon.
Thank you ever so much. You guys,
the opportunity to give us three words.
Yeah, and to help pay George for
producing the podcast.
And then there's a bit of money for us to put towards maybe a future project.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. All right. The three words today come from a very engaged listener. A very connected one of the – he's a big player in the listener game.
I can't wait to hear who this is.
His name is Daniel K.
Daniel K.
Daniel K.
Daniel K. Also is active on Twitter, and I'm a big fan of Dan.
Also known as the guy who suggested the theme for the second episode of Two in the
Side Tank. Where we came up with sex toy ideas.
Yeah, it was sex toy ideas, and he told us not to come up with too many things that give you wishy-washy ideas that kind of you get a lot of life experience. He's like, you want stuff where you're just shoving it in and out of your body like that.
I like a man who knows what he wants.
And look, and that was, and it was the specificity of that idea that definitely got it ahead of the group.
And Daniel K might have a podcast of his own. So if he does, I might try and link to it in the show notes. If I remember. I hope I remember. Sorry if I didn't remember. And sorry if you don't have a podcast, but maybe you should because you seem like a very funny guy.
Absolutely.
And podcasts are for funny people. None of this bloody science, none of this true crime, unless you're being funny about the crime.
Yeah, are you being funny about the crime?
Be funny about the crime or don't even waste my time.
That's basically how I always sum it up.
Yep. You're looking at something on your phone, Al.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I was just trying to get something up.
Oh. Is it like a theme song?
No. It was just information. And I guess it's going pretty smoothly.
Yeah? Getting the information?
Oh, yeah. It's,
All in all, I'm the guy for you for filling on this episode.
Thank you.
I mean, if you need someone who has nothing to say and is an empty vessel.
So the person who has been filling out our wiki page...
Oh, yeah. Jason.
Is Jason at Nest Wyoming.
Jason
on Twitter.
Has been filling out our wiki and is such a great champion legend guy.
So if anybody wants to find it, Google wiki two in the think tank. It'll come up.
And he's got all the old sketches in there, all sorts of stuff, all sorts of info.
Categorizing everything if you need to find stuff. Searchable.
Yeah. I can't imagine...
the huge amount of work that it takes to do that.
And how good a guy Jason must be in the rest of his life.
Absolutely. This is more than giving money or time. This is effort.
Giving time.
And effort.
Which is worth money.
Which is worth money.
That's what it is.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Jason. Anyway, back to Daniel K and his three words.
All right. The three words are wet, wretch, turd. There's a real theme there. Like it's sticky. There's a darkness. There's a dankness to it.
It's interesting because even without the meaning of those words, they all feel like they belong together. Wet, wretch, and turd.
Yeah. It feels like the sketch is set in a sewer.
Yeah. And it feels like wet, wretch, and turd are like three characters. Maybe they're punk rockers
that live in a sewer.
Yeah,
and are they punk rockers in that they listen to punk or they've got their a band?
I think they've got a band.
Great.
Yeah, I think punk rockers who lived in a sewer. Like if there weren't any in whenever what 70s was the 70s when punk was really like when punk was real punk.
Yeah,
was that the 70s?
I think so.
If there weren't punk rockers who lived in a sewer. There should have been.
I think
they would have been
a little story
so
about
big.
Them, about the punk rock lifestyle.
We're wet, rich, and turd.
Yeah,
and we live in a sewer.
That's right. Yeah, and then sort of look. I don't know exactly what happens, but I guess there's a small. There's a bit about their music.
They played their first gig in a sewer, right?
Yeah.
And, years later, someone has this quote about them.
There weren't many people at that gig, but everyone who was at that gig caught typhoid. Everyone who was at that gig went on to catch typhoid.
Yeah, and like at the end of the gig, they all passed out from the fumes, right? And when they woke up, the indent in the muck on the ground was so comfy, they just decided to live there.
They laid there. They never stood up again. And every gig they did was lying down in the filth.
Eventually, the filth became them.
It flowed over the top. And we had to infer the music from the ripples in the shit.
And
that's how punk Wet, Wretch and Turd really were.
And the last gig, all you could see was his was Wet's mouth.
Wet's wet mouth
barely sticking out of the water when he'd pull a specifically large O vowel sound. Water would just pour in and he'd spit it out on the P sounds.
A lot of musicians, they died choking on their own vomit. But Wet, Wretch and Turd were the only musicians I ever knew who died when they stopped choking on other people's vomit and turds.
Anyway, they died at 24.
A river of filth.
They never really recorded anything. No sound recording artist was willing to bring their equipment out there.
You know the line from Rotler Kasbah, "Trouble in the Suez." A lot of people thought that was reference to the Suez Canal.
Is that in that song? No, that's "We Didn't Start the Fire." Trouble in the Suez.
Still, that can be fun.
Anyway,
that was a reference to Wet, Wretch and Turd. And the trouble they had surviving in the sewer, what they died in.
It was the best week of gigs I've ever seen.
A lot of people think that the rock and roll lifestyle was unhealthy when you were doing coke all day and heroin all night. But I've never seen a more unhealthy lifestyle than that lived by Wet, Wretch and Turd and that week that they were in that sewer.
My microbiome still hasn't recovered from those awesome gigs.
Songs? No, I can't remember any of them.
I'm not even sure there was some. Just some sort of splashing about.
Johnny Sodden, we used to call him. The Wretch Pistols and the
Turd Holes?
The Turd Holes as well. Yeah, that's what we called them as well.
So they each had, they all had, each performer had their own band name? That was all their solo careers that they did in the second half of the week. Of course, there was a lot of conflict because the other members were still present as the others were trying to break off and start their
they
own.
They were the first band to perform all their solo stuff simultaneously on stage. And while it was never really acknowledged, you could tell that they were trying different things.
I mean, Wretch, I'm pretty sure, died very early on in the week. And the gurgling was just from sort of gases escaping the holes in his body.
But that came to define their sound.
But to be honest, his solo stuff was the stuff I enjoyed the most.
Most listenable.
All right.
In a traditional way.
Okay, so there you go, Daniel Kay. Thanks for that. And thanks, everybody else, for putting up with me on the rest of this podcast.
And me on the rest of all the podcasts.
We ding a ding a ding a ding.
Oh wait,
ding,
we got to just come out. Then we have to read.
No, we got to read all the sketches.
Read all the sketches. Cake in the Lungs. I mean, this is the Furrow Comics universe that we've just started. Yeah. I'm not sure with the name Furrow yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we were closer to it with something else.
With Mind Trench.
Mind Trench.
Mind Trench.
Yep.
All right. No, Mind Trench.
Plow. The eye plow.
Like an internet product that plows.
I was thinking EYE, but yeah, whatever.
EYE, eye plow.
Yeah, that's what carves the mind trench, is the eye plow.
The eye plow. Mm. Eye plow mind trench.
Oh.
Anyway, we got that, and we got the hand shoes.
Yeah.
Hand shoes, which are a great product.
That's right.
They allow for better parenting and business decisions, sort of bringing some of that paleo stuff back into modern day, removing that use of hands, which we used to be sort of taken up by holding rocks and muck and things like that.
Well, a lot of the time in your Doctor Who's and your Star Trek's, right, there'll be some line to the effect that it's your humanity that is your weakness, right? And they're usually referring to you know, your kindness and your empathy and that sort of thing. Yeah. But another aspect of humanity is our opposable thumbs.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think we're just removing that, which is another kind of weakness.
Kindness isn't the only aspect of humanity
that
could hold us back.
Right.
You know?
Being able to grasp a spoon. That's another one.
An ass that has closed cheeks.
That's...
You know? That, you know, that rests within a closed cheek system.
Something that's holding us back.
Well, I mean, it's just something very human.
Do you think is the closed cheek system an aspect of human? I guess
I don't think I've ever seen
animal have butt cheeks?
I don't think so.
Fuck, Alistair, I don't know if I've ever heard this discussed as the thing that truly separates us from the animals.
Yeah.
But if that's what it turns out to be, now that we're finding out that plants can communicate, right, and crows can play pranks on each other.
Yeah, or Connect Four.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Right? I think the closed-ass butt cheek might be all we've got left.
Absolutely. And it's not like that's going to be one of those things where we're going to find out 100 years down the road that we never realized that all animals actually had their own...
Actually, crows have got a closed-ass butt cheek.
That butt cheek.
No, this is us.
No.
It's one of the first things you notice about an animal.
This is actually rock solid.
And then we discover like a crab.
Yeah, a crab with just like a human ass.
Tight ass.
Just a tight, closed ass.
Like a peach.
Yeah. Mm. You know, like because monkeys have that ass that's just like right there. It's like holes in an open world.
Yeah.
Right? It's like one of those houses that opens right onto the footpath.
Onto the street from before they built the road.
Yeah. Wow, it's crazy. What are you doing? Give a bit of space between you and the rest of the world. People walking by and just bang on your window.
Yeah, that's an analogy that I'm enjoying. Is that because we don't have a tail? Do you think that the butt cheeks really do the job of the tail
in being able to cover? It's like a protective kind of thing. Maybe. Yeah. Right. Lost the tail. Our ass folded in on itself.
Yeah. All right.
I would have loved to have seen that, like. Where's the missing piece between the open ass and the closed ass like this, where there's just this kind of like valley ass, like this kind of just like open, there's like this flying V ass where it's almost like a cone. So it's almost like a cone, like the ear, the ear, so that you're accepting. Obviously these people died, these creatures died out.
Yeah.
Because it was just, the ass was too welcoming.
The funnel.
The funnel ass. Anyway, I'm just saying.
I've got a funnel to me tunnel.
All right, that was a funny laugh. Spider-Man from the point of view of window cleaners, that's a sketch.
Yep, that is a sketch.
We got weight loss pig mayoral candidate, which is the hover pig guy.
That is just an example of just how far Alistair can go if he's not having any help at all. If you wanted to know where how far he'll go...
Yeah.
Like that song in Moana, right? That was your ocean-going exploration. That was your equivalent of the...
If Annie doesn't step in.
Of the oceanic peoples discovering Fiji.
Away, away, on battle, son of son. I found out that my people, actually, like my you know, my ancestors were all people who took sketches too far. they took bad ideas too far.
That's the Easter Island.
And then my dad, who was like, you never go beyond acceptability.
Yeah.
You never go beyond, you know, the reef.
What Andy seems to think is okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went beyond because it felt like the sketch was asking me to do it.
Yeah, it was calling to you.
The sketch had chosen me when I was a toddler.
You come back to the water every single time.
The sketch.
The sketch.
The
water is a sketch.
Yeah, the water is a sketch. The water sketch.
Mm.
The one that we wrote about, that philosopher who said that everything was water.
Remember
that?
Thales.
Thales, yeah. Love that guy. Then we got the office cow.
And that's an example of just how far Andy won't go.
No, it's like you went somewhere with it. You know? It's in there. It's a cow. It's in a weird place.
That's funny.
And you know, and
cow
it's
in an office.
It's the idiots who just accept it and think that it's better for them.
Yeah, it helps to moisturize the atmosphere.
You know, and then out, you know, the outer city people can't make fun of us for not having this kind of country lifestyle experience.
Connection.
You know, like we live with a cow
at work.
At work,
and it's every week. It's somebody. It's like the hamster at school.
Mm.
Every week, so somebody's turn to take the cow home on the weekend.
Exactly.
It's my turn with the cow.
I mean, most landlords say no cats and dogs.
Mm.
I mean, they say pet. They don't say no cattle.
No.
It's not a pet.
I've got ya.
This is for eating.
It's a loophole. It's a domesticated beast.
Beast is a great word.
Beast.
I never think
of a cow as a beast.
No, but imagine that in
Beauty and the Beast, if it had been a cow.
I mean, I was thinking of in X-Men, there's Beast, but what about domesticated Beast? Then there's releasing crayfish. That's when you get to actually give, you know, and then during the meal, I guess you kind of pat each other on the back and think about what all the crayfish will do with their time.
Talk about what they're doing with their time.
I guess if you were given like a kind of, if like one of them was mounted with a webcam, you could see what they're up to and what they're doing with their freedom.
That's really nice.
Mm. Oh, you'd feel so good.
Yeah.
Except for that webcam.
Check
that they
in
have to live
with a cow. With your crayfish.
And then there's the punk rockers, Wet Wretch and Turd, who have to live in, lived in a sewer. And had
I'm actually
gigs.
Really happy about that idea.
Yeah.
And I wasn't unhappy with my accent.
No, I think he did really well. And that was, you know, that's an era. That's a very specific era.
I just pushed it, you know?
Yeah, you pushed it. Yeah. It was evocative of, like, you know, of those, you know, those old band stories.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks, Al. Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank.
You can find us on Twitter.
Good God.
At Two in Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
You can give us a review on iTunes if you want.
That'd be real nice. Not this episode, but one of the good ones.
Look, I think there was a lot of fun in here. When things don't go well, I think sometimes people like that.
Okay. harrys.com/thinktank. That'll support the show as well.
You know, you can try and force people to listen to the podcast.
That would mean so much.
You know, I don't think we have enough sort of over 65s. If you could convince, if you
that's a real untapped market for podcasts in general.
Yeah, if we could get old folks' homes, you know, put them on while people are trying to go to sleep.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
These people have heard everything, so what we're saying is just going to be repetition of the same old stuff for them.
Yes.
But it's. We kind of have soothing tones to our
voices. You know
what?
I reckon for old people in nursing homes, this could be one of the few things that isn't repetition of the same old stuff. You know, I reckon there's a good chance that a lot of this stuff they haven't heard before.
Yeah. I guess they would be happy to know that people are getting cows in their offices.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
You know?
Oh, I don't understand the world anymore.
Yeah. Which one of these do you think ants would like?
I think ants would like cows in offices.
Yeah,
I think they'd be like... cow shit and stuff that they can get for their habitat.
Yeah.
and I think that they'd appreciate not being the only animal that is farmed inside the human environment.
That's
the ant
true,
farm.
Yeah. I think they would hate the hand shoes because I imagine they don't like regular shoes.
Yeah, they're getting stomped on.
Yeah, they're getting stomped on. I think if there's more hands on the ground and rubber.
Totally.
That's kind of, we're doubling the limbs on the ground.
That would suck. But I reckon cake lung, if ants could get cake out of the atmosphere, that would be incredible for them.
Especially those big tall ants with the white, you know, the big termite ants with those big termite mounds.
Yeah.
They're all about air, getting air in there. They would not even have to leave.
I think there are some that, like, collect moisture from dew in the desert.
Yeah.
Now imagine if they could also collect cake sugar. The same way.
Sugar, yeah. You know, wheat and sugar and frosting.
What if Coca-Cola just pumped sugar into the atmosphere and it was a news service and we somehow got charged for it? Right.
Oh, no.
So, like, no, but I guess it would mean you don't have to eat, right?
Okay.
So it's just like another thing, right, that is just like provided now.
What if it's
by
like vitamin, you know,
because
like Coca-Cola owns like vitamin water or something like that.
I'm sure they'd do a deal where they just pump it into the atmosphere.
And you go, oh, I actually don't need to eat anymore.
I'm hungry.
I just kind of absorb
vitamins. I've been breathing so much today.
Yeah. I had a real good breath.
Yeah.
Lunchtime.
So. My lungs are so full.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe another bite.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
We love you. Listen to Primates, the podcast with Matt Stewart.
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.